Hey, you mob, this is Archie Roach, and you're listening to Precious Memories on 3CR.
Well, I wish I had grown with my mother back home.
Yeah, I'll do these headphones here, Helen. A bit too desire, I think, but
a lot of look like air traffic controllers.
Good afternoon, sis.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
No worries. And we're part of the International Day of Disability here at Community Radio 3CR.
Yeah, it's Disability Day. It's the day to celebrate all those people out there who are just working hard at living their lives.
Yeah, look, we've got a couple of interviews to come, Helen, and we're going to be crossing to Patrick McGee, who is the coordinator of Aboriginal Disability Justice Campaign, and we hope to talk to him about a few things regarding Aboriginal disability. And it's wide range, isn't it?
It is. Disability. It is, and Patrick's work particularly is looking at some just really terrible things that are going on, especially in the Northern Territory, where people are basically in prison when they don't need to be because of their disabilities. And the Human Rights Commission put out a report yesterday talking about several men who'd been in prison for, you know, some years, basically in seclusion and being drugged because, you know, they shouldn't be there. They should be living in somewhere better where they can get care. But people are just living in prison because there's nowhere else better for them.
Yeah, that's for sure, Helen. And I see a lot of that in the prison system doing Beyond the Bars for the last 13 or so years. And it's just... I see it not only with Aboriginal people, but all races too. And... it's kind of like they got one block, I think, in one prison that I've seen that it's for young offenders and people with disabilities.
Yeah, I mean, it says a lot when so much of the prison population now are people with brain injuries and intellectual disability. It's just a crap system, basically. That's just not the place to put people if you want the society to be better than it is.
No, it isn't. And, I've seen mainly with the young fellas in the prison system as well, going in with drug problems and kind of like jumping off high cell block balconies, and the end result is if it's not death, it's they'll end up with some kind of disability. I met a couple of young fellas on this year's broadcast that done exactly that, and one now is disability and the other one's was just a fraction away from being a quadriplegic. And
so much preventable illness and disability in the community that just doesn't need to be there, and it's because of poverty and oppression and exclusion and all of those things, and it's making people ill for the rest of their lives.
Yep, and putting them in prison for lesser charges that other people would get fines and or community service or community work and you'll find that a lot of prisons are just filled up with people that haven't paid their fines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just little things.
Yeah.
And they're probably already living a life of poverty.
Yeah.
And all that that goes with that. And not a very good place to be in.
No, it isn't. But there are people trying to do stuff about it, like the Aboriginal Disability Justice Campaign and the Aboriginal Disability Networks that are starting to be set up as well all around the country to talk about the support people really need rather than putting people in prison.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we probably need a lot more forums because even though these committees are set up, they don't actually get out to the grassroots people. And we need people that are going to be on these committees, no matter if you're in Victoria or New South Wales, anywhere, you got to be able to relate to the grassroots people, the people with the problems, and their carers too as well, because I think the carers play a big role. I know my carer is my son, Johnny Mac, and some I have my good days and I have my bad days, and it's just great to have a carer around that that you can actually lean on sometimes and give you that cuddle.
Yeah, that's right.
That big cuddle, the big fella, and it's great, yeah.
I think that's a good message for Disability Day is get a cuddle.
Yeah, yeah, we're go and get a cuddle. Nothing like a cuddle, mate. And but yeah, just with mine, Helen, I was actually in a bad car accident 26 years ago, where the actual engine of the car landed on me in the back seat, and as I was just showing you that press thing there, me and my son.
Yeah, it's an amazing story.
And, yeah, I was in hospital for 3 years or so. And
3 years
yeah,
in hospital?
Yeah.
Wow.
And my, like I said, everything in my body was broken except my left leg. So had a lot of rehab.
Yep.
And a lot of family and community support at the time. And I started to believe there was no such word as can't,
yeah,
and can, you know, and you got to be able to get up, and it's no good laying around and think, oh, you know, this is the end of it. You got to be able to get up and get back into it and all that. So I was even doing radio shows from me bed at Royal Melbourne.
Were you?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And my son was 8 years old at the time, and used to lift me up the stairs. I live in a house that kind of like goes down the steps, and 8 years old he was, and pretty strong fella. And used to pick me up in the wheelchair and carry me up. And
he sounds like an awesome 8 year old.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Well, you want to see the sides of him now? He does the Tuesday program. Yeah, he's a big fella. But you know. I ended up getting some of me major injuries were 8 plates in the head, and I've got no cheekbones. That's all metal as well, and no thigh bone. It's all metal as well, and to top all that off, just had a quad heart bypass 8 weeks ago. So I've been through the mill, and
you're indestructible.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the. I was going to get a T-shirt that said something in that way, Helen, but I think I'll just go with I'm lucky to probably be here. But no, it's the way you face it too. Like I said, you just can't lay around and do nothing about it. You got to be getting up, and even if it's going for a walk or. You know, down at the gym and that, like when I first had it and I was in a wheelchair, I used to go to Fitzroy Stars gym, and my uncle Jock Oxon used to be there, and I was thinking I was the first one that used their brand new lift that they got in there too, so yeah.
But so when you first came out of hospital, did you decide, right, I'm just going to get out of there, whatever it takes, I'm going to get out and do stuff, or did it take a bit of time to...
Well, I used to go missing when I was in there too.
In the hospital?
Yeah, so I was over at Royal Melbourne, and once I got my bearings, because with the head injuries, because I was in there so long, I had to have that frame on the head.
A cage thing?
Yeah. Looked like a halo. So that... Yeah, maybe while I'm still here, you know. But anyway, so it was a lot of rehab stuff. Because I had the head injuries, I couldn't even spell words and stuff like that. And
yeah,
a lot of my brothers used to come in, and we used to play Scrabble, but using the three letter words like cat, dog, and all that. And
so, did you have to learn to talk again?
Oh,
okay.
I think I've always been a good talker. Runs in the family, in my family, Helen, and yeah. So No, it's been a bit of a battle along the way. You never get over it, but I kind of like crawl out of bed every morning, and then first couple of steps, but yeah, you're heading for a coffee, and you know, so I end up getting on with the day, and just don't do a lot of things that I used to do, but I'm 55 now, and still here, so
you look pretty good on it.
no worries. But like I said, there's no such word as can't, and you got to have the willpower, and that's plays a big role in getting up and getting on with stuff that you do.
Yeah, and I think it's really important too to not listen to people who they might think they're trying to be helpful.
Yeah.
But say things like, "Oh, you know, maybe that will be too hard for you," because they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Like summertime is my worst time, because I had the medal put in like 26 years ago. Going through prisons and airports, it gives off that beep as well, and it actually heats up in the hot weather, and actually burns my brain if it gets too hot. And people say, "Oh, you should wear a hat."
It's probably not going to help, is it?
When it's 40 degrees. It's going to keep the heat in. What I usually do, Helen, is make sure I got a cold bottle of water, frozen, melt throughout the day. And you know, if your plates and that are getting hot, you can always tip the water over your head. Been out in the desert and felt hot too, and look for more or less anything to cool down in and stuff like that. But you soon get to know how to live with it and how to prevent stuff from you getting sick and all that kind of stuff. When it first happened, it took me a long time to get used to it. I had a few CSF leaks. It was actually leaking brain fluid and stuff like that. So, I just think that the people that were around me helping me and that, and the family here at 3CR as well.
Yes.
You know, you need them kind of people around you to keep you going.
You do.
You know, otherwise it gets a bit hard sometimes.
It does, and not everywhere is as welcoming as 3CR.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now, I think we're just about coming up to our first caller, and I think Gabby's going to let us know about it. So what I might do, Helen, is go into a song.
Cool.
And let's play a little bit of Johnny Huckle with a little bit of Curry Love.
I can lead you astray. Refresh your spirit in your own cooey ways. Cooey love, plump all your mother, father, sister, and brother. Cooey ways, share and care, each one for the other. Cooey people, while we're leaking us all to each other. Cooey love, cooey life, cooey ways. Cooey love, cooey love, cooey love. get together, start having fun. Curry love,
love for your mother, father, sister and brother.
Curry ways, share and care,
each one for the other.
Curry people once they're linking,
us all to each other.
Curry love, curry life, curry ways.
Curry love, curry love, curry love.
Curry love,
love for your mother, father, sister and brother.
Curry ways,
share and care, each one for the other.
Curry people,
one spirit linking, us all to each other.
Curry love, curry life, curry ways.
Welcome back. You're listening to Precious Memories with Gilla McGuinness, and I'm Helen William, and I'm joining Gilla today in the show. And our first guest today for this special Disability Day show is Patrick McGee. He's the coordinator of the Aboriginal Disability Justice Campaign, which is working to reduce the numbers of Aboriginal people with acquired brain injury and intellectual disability who are in prison, sometimes indefinitely and very often in maximum security prisons. Hi, Patrick. Thanks for talking to us on International Day of People with Disability.
And thank you for having me.
So perhaps you could kick off by telling us about the Aboriginal Disability Justice Campaign. When did it start and why did it start?
It started a few years ago with myself and a chap called Ian McKinlay and Professor Eileen Baldry and Associate Professor Leanne Dowes at UNSW sitting around a table grizzling at each other because we're all involved in this issue, myself and Ian, as community guardians, young Indigenous men in the Northern Territory who were being detained in the Alice Springs Correctional Centre, and the professors from UNSW who are leading academics and universities around this issue in research. And we decided that rather than grizzle at each other, we would do something about it. So we started the Aboriginal Disability Justice Campaign.
So what is the opposite of injustice is going on? What does the campaign want to change? What are some of the things that are happening?
What's going on at the moment is that there is, in each state and territory, a piece of legislation which is called mental impairment legislation, and it's designed to provide an alternative pathway through the criminal justice system for people with cognitive impairments who commit crimes but are unable to plead. That is, because of their disability, they don't understand the difference between right or wrong or guilty and innocent. It's designed in various sort of state or territory incarnations that all in the end are sort of are approximately the same, but designed to provide people with an opportunity to sort of see what the crime was and test the facts, and then to provide an option for the courts to consider that would divert people from prisons. Unfortunately, that's where the legislation stopped. It requires places for people to be diverted to, that is, accommodation options that provide treatment of significant benefit that would change the behaviour of these people that brought them into the criminal justice system in the first place. What we've got in most states and territories is a lack of that accommodation option. And so people, while they're being diverted through, being sort of processed through this alternative pathway, don't have anywhere else but prison to go at the end of that time.
Yeah, Patrick, Gilla McGuinness, mate. Do a number of Aboriginal broadcasts in the prison system here in Victoria. We're up to our 13th one. We get to interview Koori men and women during NAIDOC week from six major prisons here in Victoria. One of the things that I've been hearing, and you know, over a number of years, is when when Corries or our people, Aboriginal people, get out of prisons, they're maybe taken two or three steps forward, and they're taking the steps straight away back into prison system. On the thing is that there's no housing outside for them. There's no education. There's no employment. And the list just goes on and on and on. And I see a lot of Aboriginal people who are disability. And but these are the problems that not only disability people face, but this normal queries in the system.
You've hit the nail on the head there. The First People's Disability Network tells us that, disability is a significant issue in Indigenous communities across the country, in all states and territories. It's disability is something that's not just about Indigenous communities. It affects every Australian.
Yep. Everyone.
Everyone. Most families in Australia will be able to tell you about a family member who has a disability. That might be a physical disability. It might be a cognitive disability. It could be a health disability like diabetes.
Yep. Or a brain injury.
Or a brain injury, that's right. We're all touched by this. What we know, though, is that disability is disproportionately affecting Indigenous Australians in a way that makes it much more difficult to manage because of a whole series of very complex circumstances. One of the complex dynamics that's going on for people with cognitive impairments, for Indigenous people with cognitive impairments, is many Indigenous Australians with cognitive impairments grow up on communities. And those communities see disability from a uniquely Indigenous perspective. In fact, what they do is not to see the disability. They just, this is George. He might have an acquired brain injury, but unlike the rest of Australian society, they don't identify the disability and separate them out.
No, they don't, brother. And I could actually speak to that. Like I was just talking, I have head injuries, and people just see me as playing Uncle Gilla, and yes. I get on with my way, and I'm still an active member of the community, and they don't see the disability.
That's right. Yeah, and look,
they see the person.
They see the person, not the disability. And the rest of Australian society really could learn from the approach of our Indigenous brothers and sisters around exactly that. Because what we do is we see the disability, not the person. So that's one thing that Indigenous communities can teach us. Unfortunately, for people with cognitive impairments, as they grow up, what happens, though, is that like everybody else, some people make poor decisions that lead them into contact with the criminal justice system. Some people's behaviour becomes very difficult to manage for families. They might become a bit more violent, for example. We've got to understand that disability in Indigenous communities suffers from the same range of human interactions as the rest of the community. There are some really good experiences, but there are some bad examples of poor interactions. And unfortunately, what happens in some communities is that people with disabilities are a bit more marginalised and a bit more isolated. Not all communities, but some communities. And what we're seeing in the centre of Australia, where we have communities that are extreme in living in poverty, that have very few opportunities, that have very few supports, that have high rates of suicide, all of the troubles that we all know so well about, they have very little capacity and very little left over to actually support Indigenous people with cognitive impairments. That, coupled with the fact that they get absolutely no support from their disability services, which are largely run by white people, and in which most Indigenous people, I think, have very little faith, mean that there's a whole lot of people that then are being shifted into the criminal justice system, which doesn't have the capacity or the expertise to work with their disability and approaches this whole issue from a purely legal perspective. That's all very fine and well, except it means that all of these people might go into jails. And in the Northern Territory, those jails are maximum security jails. And our problem is that some of those people are being indefinitely detained, but the majority of people are just being left in jail without any support. So we've got problems in that there's no support for people with disabilities prior to coming into the criminal justice system, and then, as you rightly identified, there's no support for people coming out of the criminal justice system.
Patrick, there was a media release yesterday from the Human Rights Commission talking about a number of cases of Aboriginal men in maximum security prison in the Northern Territory who were basically being drugged and shackled to manage their conditions and who may be there indefinitely. Where do you see us going forward? I know you've recently had a summit with the First Peoples Disability Network. If the government says, well, you know, we're not really interested in the Human Rights Commission's report because we don't think it's any of their business, which seems to be what they're saying, where do we go? How do we get this to change?
It's a very crucial problem we've got before us. The United Nations has itself identified indefinite detention as a problem that Australia faces. 120,000 Australians signed the change.org petition for Rosie-Anne Fulton, a woman who was detained in Western Australia and has since come across to the Northern Territory, asking for her to be dealt with in a more in a way that respected her dignity and understood her as a person and tried to deal with her disability. We've got Senator Scullion, the Minister for Indigenous Affairs, admitting that the care of that particular woman was less than adequate. And now we've got the Human Rights Commission saying that these four gentlemen, one of whom I'm guardian for, and he's the young 23-year-old man who's still detained in the Alice Springs Correctional Centre, being arbitrarily detained in inhumane circumstances and without access to appropriate, interventions that would enable him to live a more dignified life. We've got to balance the right of the community with the rights of the individuals to justice. And that's where we need to start. There aren't the sorts of conversations going on at either the state government or territory government level or the Commonwealth level. And in fact, that's what the complaint found. The Human Rights Commission found that the Commonwealth government had not been talking to the Northern Territory government about appropriate access to funds that would enable an alternative accommodation option to be sought for these four men other than detention in a maximum security prison.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there, Patrick. And I've found that people can get funded for even picking drunks up in the street and taking them home. And but our people coming out of prison just don't get that support. Even if there was a bus or a car there to take them, a lot of people, I'm in Melbourne, but a lot of people don't come from Melbourne or Victoria. They might come from Alice Springs or Darwin or Queensland. First time in Melbourne, the mayor went to that prison late at night and in a closed truck and wouldn't know where they was. So you let them out of the front gate. Now then, three steps forward, where do you go? Because you're in the middle of nowhere. You're trying to get home, and before you know it, it's that two steps back. But one thing I do want to say that not only is this a government responsibility, it is a community one as well. Now, people in our communities need to understand and just not look and think you know everything about this, because people don't. And
it's a very complex issue that we're dealing with here, and I'd like to commend Ms. Gouda, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner, for hosting the National Summit of the Aboriginal Disability Justice Campaign. And he was certainly saying that communities need to be a part of the conversation.
Yep.
But the communities have to be invited to be a part of the conversation, and the communities have to have space in their ability to take up this complex issue, and it's a very difficult and complex issue that they have to address. For example, we know that in the Fitzroy Crossing, over half of the children born in 2012 were born with fetal alcohol syndrome.
Yep.
This means that there are going to be enormous amounts of children who are going to have a cognitive impairment as they grow up. If we don't do something, if we don't, as an Australian community at the national level and at state and territory level, actually come up with a plan of what to do and how to respond, then we're going to see more pressure on our disability systems, on our justice systems. We're going to see more injustice, not less injustice. We're going to see less capacity for people to lead dignified lives, to be included in society and to have a positive contribution. The Aboriginal Disability Justice Campaign is calling for a Senate inquiry, because, in fact, we don't think we know what the answers are. We, in fact, don't even think that we know what the problems of each state and territory are in a way that would enable us to come up with solutions that are sustainable and that are meaningful. We also think that the Human Rights Commission needs to be a part of that process. We think that Indigenous communities need to be a part of that process. Justice and disability systems need to be a part of that process, because without us all pulling together and working this out as one, we're not going to get anywhere. It's just too much of a complex issue.
Totally agree with you, Buzz, but can we also add Aboriginal media to that, whether it be television or radio, because a lot of people can't get out of their houses and where they live, even make it into the organisations, but sitting at home, we can get the message to them through that little radio box there. They've got a little speaker, and we can get the message out to them, Buzz, and hopefully we can start talking to get this thing really off the ground and happening. I just hope when you have your next national meeting, you let us know down here, and I'm pretty sure we'll have a couple of queries up there, access the media, and we'll give you what coverage you need there, brother. It's a very important issue, not only disability, but the prison system in itself, and, you know, our people don't belong in those prisons, mate, at all.
It's a bit of a national disgrace that we are incarcerating Indigenous men at the rates that are amongst the highest in the world. But then if you think of that, think of this, that we are incarcerating Indigenous women at 20 times the rate that we're incarcerating Indigenous men. We are, and by we I mean our justice system, we are undermining the very fabric of Indigenous community life in this country. We need to step back and take a look at what we're doing and have a real think about it.
Yeah, that's for sure, bros. And like I said, thanks very much for coming on today, Patrick. It's been
a great
discussion. Hope we have plenty more of them, bros, because this is kind of stuff that we need to get out into our communities.
I'd be happy to talk to you anytime. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Patrick. And just before we finish, where can people find out more information about the campaign?
If they go to www.pwd.org.au and click on supported projects, there you'll find the Aboriginal Disability Justice Campaign. That's the website of the National People with Disabilities Australia agency.
Thanks again. Thanks for joining us and happy Disability Day to you.
Yeah, and Patrick, I'm taking us out with a song that was actually written in prison by our legendary broadcaster singer down this way, Coogee Edwards. And the song is called Time Is All I Have. Thanks very much, Buzz. Patrick McGee, coordinator of the Aboriginal Disability Justice Campaign. Thanks, Buzz.
Bye-bye.
I see birds from up above, over walls I can't get past. These feelings of desperation, but I know that they won't last. Time is all I have. My past I leave behind. Thinking out tomorrow, that's all that's on my mind. Dreaming of a place I'd rather be, for it's not that far away. Together with my friends and family is where I want to stay. Time is all I have. My past I leave behind. Thinking of tomorrow, friends and family, my brothers here beside me, our hearts will be together and our spirits will be free, 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 yeah. Time is all I have, my past I'll leave behind, thinking of tomorrow, that's all that's on my My brothers here beside me, our future's all I see. Our hearts will be together and our spirits will be free, yeah. Time is all I have. My past I'll behind. Thinking of tomorrow, that's all that's on my mind. Time is all I have. My past I leave behind. I'm thinking of tomorrow. That's all that's on my mind. That's all that's on my mind.
Nanga love, Kuri love and a Murray love. Nanga love, Kuri love and a Murray love. Nanga Kuri and a Murray. Oh, Nanga Kuri and a Murray, we have crossed many rivers. Nanga Kuri and a Murray. Oh, Nanga Kuri and a Murray, we still climb many mountains. Time has arrived when no love is near, and we can feel it in the air. And for so long, all our love was here, but no one ever seemed to care. I'm telling you, no one did. Now what we need, oh, what we need is love, sweet love. What we need, oh, what we need is love, sweet love. Sing me this song for our unity, for now that they know that we are all free. And don't ever let greedy Gubba get ya, for now that his love is like a sharp razor. I'm telling you, it's like a sharp razor. Nanga Kuri and a Murray. Oh, Nanga Kuri and a Murray, we have crossed many rivers. Nanga Kuri and a Murray. Oh, Nanga Kuri and a Murray, we still climb many mountains.
Yeah, Joey Guyer there with Nanga Kuri and the Murray. You're listening to a special programming here on Community Radio 3CR, International Day of Disability. And on the line at the moment, we've got Diane Brooks, who is the coordinator of Aboriginal Disability Network in New South Wales. How you going, Diane?
I'm good, Gilla. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. You're a Yorta Yorta woman.
I am. So my family is McGee and sort of stretch out with a big mob. So you go the Galways and the Atkinsons and the Briggses and the...
Oh, big mob.
Big mob, yeah.
Welcome to Community Radio, anyway.
Yeah, thanks.
Yep. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself and the Aboriginal Disability Network?
Yeah, of course. I'm a teacher, but I had a child that was born with a disability.
Yep.
And so I started working in order to support her to be the best person that she could be. And then I left education and started working for the disability sector, because that's where my passion was, to support our mob being able to get what they could in order to, for them to be the best people that they can be. Then with the changing disability sector and everything that's happening right now with the introduction of the National Disability Insurance Agency,
yep.
Me and a colleague developed this program to support people in Aboriginal people in rural and remote communities, start looking about how they're going to engage in that new sector, about making sure that things are in place for them and that they've got choice about what it is they want to do. And so we're going around to isolated and pockets of communities to give information. And while I was travelling around, we were approached by Department of Human Services
yep.
and asked if we would come into some communities in Victoria. I was really excited because my mob's down that way.
Yep.
So, of course, did go to Mob first, and I'd done a day at Cumra and Shep and Echuca, and then started travelling down. So I'd done Bendigo, we've done Mildura, Warrnambool, and the next place we really want to do is sort of go further on from Warrnambool, do up around Hamilton and Horsham, and definitely get down to the Gippsland. We've fielded a lot of calls from down that area to support people around that information that they need to do. And we also created a book. So one of my biggest concerns was I knew lots of Koori kids that didn't have language yeah. or mum's literacy level mightn't be at a place where she might understand how to support her kids to put a plan together. And so we made a book. And so we used a really great Aboriginal artist
yep.
and we put some really simple text together with information that's really relevant to communities, and we're taking people on a journey to help them start doing their own plan. And that way we can help people in those communities work together and pull their resources together, what's available, and they can start putting plans together that's going to be beneficial for you know, not only our kids but adults that have a disability.
Yeah, sounds great. What's the name of the book?
So the book is called Living My Way.
Oh, right, yep.
Of course, we made a film, and because we like the name of the film, we've just adopted the same name for the book.
Oh, called, yeah, fantastic name. Well, what else would you really want to call it? Living My Way, you know? And it's great, and it's... I think, you know, a lot of people need to come together on this particular issue, you know, disability, because, whether you got a disability yourself, but disabilities can come, you know, from the day one when you're born. There's no particular age or race that this actually affects, and, now, I know a couple of nieces of mine and young nephews in the community that got autism. And, I didn't understand it and still don't, so I'm still learning a little bit more about it. But, I reckon it's really great that that yous are getting together and actually giving disability people a voice, because it's not happening out there in the communities, and it's not happening at a state or federal level either as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm happy to go to any community. I much prefer it when someone invites me in, because,
yep.
you know, politically,
yeah,
I don't want to rock up in someone's community.
Yeah, someone else's country.
So,
yep.
you know, like, definitely if you want to invite me, just give me a ring and invite me in, and then I'll start doing some plans together and find the best location. And that's another really important thing. We rocked up to a community that we were invited to earlier this year.
Yep.
And then someone said, oh, you know, hire this hall. And when we got there, we hired the hall, and then the mob rocked up, and then the mob all left. And I've walked out the front and I've gone, oh, you're not going to hang around and listen? And they've gone, oh, we're not normally allowed in this hall. And then I've gone... So sometimes it's better if the mob invites me in,
yep.
and then the mob can tell me, we can have it here, because that's where we like to go. I'm quite happy to put a feed on and bring all the resources and sit down with community. And sometimes what I like to do best is if I rock up to, like, the trip that I'm planning down in Gippsland,
yep.
I will go to Lake Entrance, then I'll go out to Lake Tyres, then I'll go to Bairnsdale, then I go to Orbust, and, you know, like, and go up to Mowell. So I'll do the whole area and stay there for a week.
Yep.
So that I'm telling all different areas of the community, rather than just go one place and expect everyone come to me.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy to go to communities and sit down, because that's what I like to do. And we know how our mouth travels faster than anything. Yep. So, yeah, if you've got a community that needs to know that information about what they need to do or how they need to start planning for those changes,
yep,
then please just give me a ring. And I'm quite happy to give you my email address or my landline number, and then we can start planning,
yep,
for 2015. So right now I've got lots of time available in March of 2015.
Yeah, well, I've got your number here.
And May's looking.
And your email as well. So I know you've got a flight to catch at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
So do you want to tell us about the yarning up? Because that's what our people love doing, is yarning up, you know, yarning up circles.
Definitely. So the yarning up is, first of all, we come into a community after I get invited in.
Yep.
And we start talking about what is a disability, because sometimes people
don't
know.
And
we know as carers, because I cared for my girl with autism for years and got no help from nobody.
Yep.
So we do that as a family. So, you know, we start looking about what is a disability, then what's available, what can we access, how can we help people with disabilities be strong, independent people.
Yep.
Sometimes we know that people with disability might not always be independent and they will need a lot of formal support. But we need to make sure that those formal supports are available as close to hometown where they live. Otherwise, we're exhausting a lot of money paying for transport for people to come in.
Yep.
So we look at those. So at the Yarning Circle, we identify those issues. And if we go to a community and we think this is a big problem for this community, then me and my boss, we take that to government and we say, hey, listen, you need to look at this area, because in this community you've got, you know, a whole host of people that need this service, but there's nothing available there. So we make government aware of those holes or those gaps that might exist to help people be the best person they can be. Then we introduce them to the book, and then we start doing plans. Let's make a plan about Harold, and we'll talk about Harold's life. What's important in Harold's life?
Yep.
Who's in Harold's life? And then we'll start thinking about, now, what does Harold want to do for the next so many years in his life? And then we look at what's available. Now, how can we help Harold achieve that?
So it's about the person.
Sometimes if we need money, yeah, it's all about the person.
Yeah.
And then if we need money, then we say to the government, we need money for Harold to achieve this.
Yep.
So then whether it's education or someone to come in and help Harold do that, if Harold isn't able to get to that place or do that himself. So we look at that, and then that becomes Harold's story or Harold's plan or his journey.
Yep.
And then the government will put some monetary values to that.
Yep. It's been actually a great pleasure to be talking with you today, Diane. Hope to have some more talks with you. And when you are in Melbourne again, can you let us know down here at Community Radio 3CR? Because we'll actually fix up a broadcast to broadcast the whole event, so we definitely can get the message out, not only here in Melbourne, Victoria, but right around this country, so everyone gets to hear what's going on.
Wonderful. Thank you.
No worries. And congratulations on your award, the First People's Disability Network won the 2014 National Disability Award on the 26th of November 2014. You done better than me at the 3CR Awards last Friday night. I tell you right now.
But we were up against SARU, and SARU is a good organisation. We do some things with SARU, so, but yeah, we're glad that we won it, and my boss, who never drinks, went and drank a glass of wine too.
Yeah, and just quickly, secretary for the Yarramundi Aboriginal, is that not the show Yarramundi? Yarramundi Kids?
No, Yarramundi. No. Up here we have what we call the Aboriginal Educational Consultative Group.
Yep.
And we consult Department of Education on best practice for our kids in school. And Yarramundi is just the name of the group that meets in the mountains.
No worries.
So in the Blue Mountains of New South Wales.
No worries, Diane, because that show Yarramundi on NITV is me and my granddaughter's favourite show on NITV. And on that note, I'll say goodbye to you.
I love the Yarramundi.
Don't start me singing that song now. I'll get that song going. Okay.
I've been on stage with them and done a play with them once too, but yeah, it is good fun.
Yeah, it's a good show. Thanks once again, Diane, and hope to keep in contact with you.
All right, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
That was great. That was really great, Helen.
It was. I think there's just so much fantastic work being done in the community to speak for what people want and need, and to share information and just knowing what's available and knowing more information is half the battle.
Yep.
Like if you're out there on your own, like you say, you just don't understand what's going on, you don't know where the services are. Half the time it's just pointing out, yeah, you can get some help if you want it.
Yeah, and I've found too, you know, just in community as well, like people know the information, but they don't want to hand it on.
Mm.
So we need to let a lot more people know, because, like I said, even carers of people with disability, they don't know what support's out there as well. And
yeah, and the carers need care. They need to have a break, and they need all the support they can get as well.
Yep.
So that we're all kind of as fit and healthy as we can be, and busy as we can be.
Yep. You're listening to a special broadcast here on Community Radio Disability Day. Here on Community Radio.
I was traveling on a lonely road, going someplace I don't know. The way ahead was bleak and getting dark. Was it something?
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.